Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Oh, boy, do we have a great segment for you coming right up. I'm so excited about this, and I think you should be, too. It's all about food and sex, a match made in heaven. My next guest really needs no introduction. She is a practicing urologist. She is one of the world's leading experts on sexual health, particularly women's sexual health issues. And you've seen her. You love her. She's on the TV right in front of you. A co-host of the Emmy award-winning program, The Doctors, Dr. Jennifer Berman. Dr. Berman, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Happy to be here.
So the last time you and I, we were with Travis, and we were eating some food and kind of talking about good food, great tasting food, fresh food, and the positive nutritional benefits of meals that are constructed like that. But, you know, food is an emotional thing, and there's always been sort of this food, sex, romance link. So in your opinion, is that real, or is it just all in my head?
Well, I think what you said, you said something really important, that food is an emotional thing, and that can be a double-edged sword. So on the positive end of the spectrum, you know, food, there's definitely a sensual aspect to foods, and there's an intimacy to the aspect of just dining and eating, and going out to a romantic dinner, you know, eating strawberries dipped in chocolate, and you know, the art of feeding oneself and feeding another and enjoying a meal together. You know, is intimacy and brings us together. So from the standpoint of sex, you know, there's certain foods and rituals related to foods that are linked to libido and actual sex. But that's on the positive end. On the negative end, that eating can be emotional, and people can use food to, you know, stuff feelings, either sexual feelings, emotional feelings, and pain. So it is something to be aware of in our lives, that on the positive end of the spectrum and the negative side.
Well, that's really interesting, because, you know, we do kind of emphasize, I think, a lot of times, you know, particularly kind of as when I put in my chef's hat, take my lab coat off and put my stethoscope away, and I pull out my chef's hat and I start creating, you know, food. I'm always thinking on the positive end. I don't think most people are really, you know, aware there's a dark side potentially to it. And I think that's what you highlight is really important. And it also sort of begs a question for me. Is it different for men and women? I mean, do we experience this differently sort of based on how we're wired? And if we do, why?
Well, I'm a urologist, and I specialize in sexual health, you know, per se, but from the standpoint of you know, sexual behavior and linked to the brain. I mean, the brain is the biggest sex organ in our body, and the brain governs our, you know, our attitudes, our emotions, our thoughts, and our beliefs. And I think men and women, men and women are equally susceptible to, you know, being triggered by emotions. And from that standpoint, eating is a self-soothing behavior, and it promotes intimacy and connection, and it also makes you feel better. So I think that's just, you know, that can be men or women, and men or women are equally at risk, and it's just something to be aware of. I know in my, you know, with my kids, I noticed with my older son, he's now, you know, aware of it, but every time he was stressed out, every time he's worried or angry or upset, you know, I want chips, I want, you know, it was like a reflex, automatic reaction that I had, you know, I hadn't seen that before. And it was clear that he linked, you know, relief or I'm feeling uncomfortable, let me put this in my mouth sort of feeling. And that, you know, so that's on the negative side. On the positive side is that putting something in your mouth and putting something in your partner's mouth and sharing a meal together does connect you and feels good. So that's, you know, it's just important to be aware of that.
Well, you know, I think so. And you bring up another important sort of point, which is, you know, what do we put in our mouth and how does it make us feel? And so many of the components of the modern Western diet things like processed sweets, you know, rich in sugar, the chips, you know, they're constructed to kind of just hit our pleasure points and light them up. And, you know, but that has like a dark nutritional side to it. And so many of the problems we see in terms of disease, you know, I see is from cardiovascular standpoint, you know, are related to our diet. So, you know, do you think that in terms of, you know, sexual health, there is a kind of a relationship with dietary health in terms of kind of what we eat and how we function? And
no, 100%. And, you know, there's linked to cardiovascular health and sexual health, especially in men. The potency in men or erectile function, ability to attain and sustain and maintain an erection satisfactory for sexual relations, is definitely linked to our cardiovascular health, and our diets affect our cardiovascular health. So it's, you know, for the pump to be flowing, you need to have adequate blood flow. So anything that can affect blood flow, and that's, you know, the blood flow to the heart is right, the same as the blood flow to the penis, can lead to changes in that. And initially we thought that just happened in men, but it's also in women. So eating the cardio diet or the Mediterranean diet, which is what I recommend to my patients, from the standpoint of enhancing sexual arousal in women, arousal, lubrication, sensations of warmth and stimulation. In men, it's an erection, maintaining and attaining an erection. From the standpoint of libido and sexual desire, the foods can definitely impact that. And eating, you know, the processed foods, diets, you know, and sugar, we're driven by sugar, right, and caffeine. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes, especially, you know, being a doctor, you know, when you're in residency, you're just like eating out of the vending machine and on call.
And the coffee pot. Yep.
It's just like running around. And so I had poor eating hygiene is the best way I can say that. And that's what another thing that I would talk to patients about is, you know, actually sitting down, going through the act of actually, you know, enjoying a meal and not shoving, you know, food in your mouth out of, you know,
I think that's a great point, because when we think of sort of the food and sex, but maybe more importantly, food and kind of romance and courtship and role it plays, as you mentioned earlier, in that kind of courtship ritual, it really is about establishing kind of an emotional connection, you know, not just walking through, you know, the hallways making rounds or in the airport where I see people eating Cinnabons, you know, the size of their heads and just kind of mindlessly kind of stuff into their gob. So I guess is in terms of sexual health and food relations, do you feel like that there's an important role, and maybe that's the romance of it, in building this emotional or memory type connection?
You know, I do think so. And I was just thinking as you were speaking, I live in Los Angeles here, and I'm a single mom. So I'm out there with the rest of them, dating. And when, you know, I noticed that there's a difference between when somebody invites you for coffee or somebody invites you for dinner. I mean, it's a totally different, you know, if they want to sit down with you and actually spend time dining, not, you know, sitting in coffee, you can have a lot of, you know, I could spend 3 hours at Starbucks, but the act of actually somebody wanting to enjoy a meal for you, it's a higher level of intimacy. To me, it represents a higher level of interest. This person is more interested in me for whatever reason, because he doesn't want to sit in Starbucks with me too, but he wants to sit at a table. You know, it doesn't matter where it is. Just the fact that of sharing a meal together represents, you know, some level of connection and intimacy, and which then primes at least, you know, the female brain to, if we're thinking, okay, this is somebody that's more interested in me, then I'm, you know, more open to him, and then my, you know, my guard is let down a little bit, and then I'm able to share things more, and then we, you know, that's therein lies the process of courtship. But it starts with a meal.
Yeah, you know, I think I've got to say, you know, I think that has to be hardwired into our DNA. I mean, the food and particularly sort of taste and olfaction go right into the limbic system, and mm-hmm. and sort of you're the more expert in that area. But I believe that's also where, you know, our kind of base urges and probably mm-hmm. this courtship ritual is seated. Am I right in that?
Those are the limbic system is the pleasure centers of the brain, and that it, you know, the pleasure reward. That's why it, you know, the food is soothing. So it is the pleasure centers of the brain, which is then reinforces feelings of you know, contentment, warmth, bliss. Positive emotional feelings are linked to the processes of eating. And you're right, smell, the senses, smell, taste, touch, the feel, the visual aspects of food are also reinforcing and also, you know, transmit to the limbic system, which then has positive reinforcing feelings. And then you're sharing that with somebody else, then he gets linked to the positive feelings, and then suddenly, you know, the candles, you know, get dimmer, and
The music starts playing. So I got to ask you, and this is for all eligible bachelors who are thinking of giving you a call. So what would be your ideal, you know, dining out? So I said, you know, Dr. Byrne, we've got to go out for dinner. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go? What's really gonna, you know, hit those triggers for you? Is it a place with a lot of people? Is it intimate? Is it Mediterranean cuisine? Is it, you know, a porterhouse steak? What do you like?
I like being surprised, and I like for the man to choose. A lot of times, you know, they say, well, where do you want to go, or what do you want to do? I like to be surprised, and I like for the man to choose. But that said, you know, sushi is one of my favorites, which is a very sensual sort of sharing of food kind of thing, and all sorts of different textures and shapes. And also here they have these kind of tasting kitchen kind of things with small plates where you can sharing multiple different kinds of flavors, smaller portions, but, you know, lots of options. At least that's my preference.
And that actually is, you know, you brought up two of the healthiest cuisines on earth. So, you know, the Japanese cuisine, Asian cuisine, particularly sushi, you know, is one of them. And as you said, you know, people kind of just think maybe it's rough, but there's a whole host of sublime tastes and textures that go with sushi. And in terms of the Mediterranean diet, people often, you know, get confused about, you know, what is it? Do I have to, you know, just eat fish, this or that? But, you know, there are 20 plus countries that surround the Mediterranean. Within Italy, which is one of those, you know, you can be in Naples and you're going to get one kind of cuisine. You can be in Umbria, you're going to get, you know, a completely different kind of cuisine. But it's really about this freshness of food, a lot of kind of fermented foods. And, you know, people also worry about, well, you know, gosh, I worry about the fat. We've got to go low fat, this or that. Mediterranean diet's actually higher in fat because of a lot of, for example, the olive oils and things than the modern Western diet. And it's higher in salt, too. But it's about, you know, the freshness. And I think something that you highlighted in your example, again, sushi better be darn fresh, you know, if you're going to eat it. Otherwise, you're not going to feel very well at all. And I wonder if you have any information or insight. One of the things, you know, when we eat those fresh foods, we actually change our gut microbiome and the constituents and the quality and the types and numbers of bacteria there. And, you know, we're learning that these bacteria actually produce neurotransmitters that affect our behavior. So is there any link between sort of the gut health or the gut microbiome that you know of and, you know, healthful sexual function?
I mean, from the link between the gut and the brain and the gut, and now we know in our oral gingival health and the gut and our mood, for sure there's definitely a link. And when things, whether that's, you know, again, I'm not an expert in that area, but the, you know, the hypothesis is that either due to bacteria and bacterial overgrowth, which leads to the either overproduction or underproduction of certain proteins, and even can alter, you know, our genes and the proteins that our genes are making. Right. That affects all aspects of our body. And sexual health and sexual function is a critical component of general health and general wellness. So when, you know, that's, and it can be a heralding sign, as you know, that sexual dysfunction can be a heralding sign for cardiovascular health. So the two are intimately linked. So yes, if your brain is off, if your body's off, if your gut's off, guaranteed, you know, your sex life, your libido, your sexual interest and sexual desire, and your, you know, potency and ability to become aroused, and for that matter, even orgasm can be affected.
Wow. So, and so what are some steps? I mean, it sounds like, and I think, you know, you really nailed that. And I don't know that there really are, you know, the whole gut microbiome thing, this information, you know, it wasn't even really out when we first started looking at it, you know, less than a decade ago. So I don't know that there are any sort of real, you know, super experts on the field, because the information has really just kind of come to the forefront, you know, in less the last 5 years or less really. And we're continually, you know, being surprised and learning things. And certainly, you know, I agree 100%. I mean, it's well established, you know, your gut can, the gut bacteria can affect the process of inflammation, atherosclerosis, that can cause erectile dysfunction, and that has a high correlation that you've got blockages in your coronaries, you know, at the same time. So what are some tips you could give our listeners in terms of, you know, getting on the bandwagon, looking at diet, particularly dietary, but other methods as well, you know, for good sexual health, which keeps you active, keeps you happy, and you know, and as you said, it applies to general health as well.
I mean, I guess the biggest message that I would have is that that sexual health is a critical component of our, not only our general health, but our life satisfaction, our relationship satisfaction, our longevity, even our job satisfaction. So it's important, you know, and it's something that we tend to kind of put aside, maybe ignore, make excuses for, you know, say, well, you know, I'm dealing with loss of a job, or, you know, my grandmother died, or, you know, I'm dealing with a son who's a, whatever the issue, you know, that we blame other things in our lives for aspects that we're not satisfied with or that have changed. And I really urge people to pay close attention to that. And when things are changing, not after, once you're in full-blown crisis or your relationship is in crisis, even when there's subtle changes, to talk to your healthcare professional about it and, you know, pay attention to that, because it is, you know, a heralding sign. And then what I tell my patients is that, you know, mind, body, spirit, and, you know, diet and exercise are a critical aspect of that. So eating healthy, you know, engaging in cardiovascular and strength-building exercises, meditation, watching the foods we eat, optimizing hormone balance, which is, you know, sort of big pivotal role. And then I'm a big advocate of, you know, supplements. Some people are, some people aren't. But, you know, especially as we get older, not so much in our 20s and 30s, but 40s and definitely 50s, which is where I am right now, you know, making sure that we're optimizing our vitamin B. And for me, at least, I don't know about others, but I haven't been able to get all that through my diet. So, but the B complex vitamins, the D vitamins, because we're all deficient in D, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants and anti-inflammatory. I'm actually working with cranberry right now, and the benefits of cranberry in our health, urinary tract health, and cardiovascular health.
And an interesting thing about cranberries is one of the few, and you said rich in antioxidants, all sorts of goodness, but it's actually one of the few berries that are native just to North America. So from I'm just finishing a book on, you know, ancient eats. So the sort of ancient culinary wisdom. And I love, oh gosh, you know, I'm just going to have to quote you on what you said, because you really, to me, encompassed a key point that, you know, good health just isn't about X amount of RDAs. It's about our emotional health. It's about our spiritual health. And that is, to me, really comes together in the food experience. And for folks who want to learn more or visit you, where can they find you on the web?
My website is BermanSexualHealth.com, and they can reach me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Jen Berman MD.
And of course, I can always watch you on your Emmy-winning program that you co-host. Where
we were. So tune in for next season. Exciting.
Congratulations on that, and we absolutely will. Dr. Berman, thank you so much. This was absolutely enlightening and a great show. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.